episode of the Hollyoaks podcast. I am here with my homegirl, the Sienna to my dearly departed Brody. Miss Linz, we got so close, babe. We got so close to a reunion. Like, how are you dealing with the reality of my loss?
Yeah, a long ass time ago. You know, we knew something was coming. We knew he was leaving. We just didn't know exactly how he was going to go. But, you know, seeing the Matt kind of hit and run deal happening, but knowing who did it kind of, you know, hurt my soul a little.
Yes, because they were so close. And so to you all listening, so, you know, Linz and I on these episodes are going back and watching some old stuff. So we watched early September episodes where, which ended up being Brody's exit, right? Then we jumped back to January to watch the recent episodes, starting with the aftermath of all the deaths due to the explosion. And it just so happens that those stories kind of dovetailed. We watched Brody get knocked over by a car. And then the next day, we're watching Warren get knocked over by a car for related reasons. So it's like, huh. We're flashing back and flashing back. So Warren hit Brody with a car to stop him from telling the cops that he killed Cormac. Then Ethan hits Warren with the car to stop him from, well, to send a message to Sienna. And because we already know, even though it has yet to be revealed, he has the, you know, of course he's got his sister's, the psychiatrist. We now know what she does. He has the psychiatrist notes, which note that he killed Brody. So what do you think of the way Hollyoaks has kind of made the death of Brody come full circle?
You know, I feel it didn't need to include, you know, bringing in that stupid dingbat. I hate Ethan. I want him off my screen yesterday. But but at the same time, I kind of understand where, you know, bringing him and involving him and involving Steve technically having to do with, you know, all the crap that happened with Maya, the fact that she's been sitting in that van for quite some time.
I'm sorry, did you say Maya? It's Maya. Maya. Oh, no, wait, it's Maya. Oh, no, wait, it's Maya. But I'm going to have to correct you every time because that's just a thing we do. Like, what the fuck? What are they doing with that shit?
Yeah, I know. It's Maya. No.
Listen. We sat there and watched Emmerdale characters say Maya, 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 Maya 50 fucking times. Now we're on now we're on Hollyoaks, and Hollyoaks is correcting the British Maya to Maya like we say in the States. I don't understand why this is happening. It's annoying.
It's like, I don't really care.
Who cares?
But I'm like, at the same time, though, I do understand why Ethan's doing what he's doing. He's kind of like self-destructing a little bit because, you know, he killed his girlfriend, but he didn't mean to, and now it's just like going through his brain that I'm invincible, I can do anything to keep these two from saying something, and it's just like, that's run over Warren. Okay.
Yeah, he's weird because he seemed like he was like a reluctant bad guy with Maya Maya around, but now all of a sudden he tried to act like he missed a big and bad. He is in Sienna V. Blake's face trying to puff his chest out to her and tell her what he's gonna do and how she should worry about him. I'm like, dude, like, I see Sienna like telling you need to be worried about Warren. Motherfucker, you need to worry about Sienna. Like, Hollyoaks keeps trying to pretend like Sienna isn't the baddest chick on the show. Sienna don't need no man to do for her. She will fuck you up on her own. You know what I'm saying? So I'm like, all right, this kid better stop playing.
Yeah, I'm like, just wait. You'll end up having a wall dedicated to you, too.
Come on now. Come on now.
And it's like, just remember, the Blakes are very psychotic. Exactly. All the time.
Exactly. So I feel a little bit differently. I don't mind Ethan. I think he's cute. And I think his little tough guy routine is interesting. I now want him to date Sienna because there's a chemistry there. So, and Brody's dead. And the Hollyoaks insist on putting Warren with Maxine. So fine. So let's go ahead and make, you know, Sienna and Ethan a thing. Because I was going to say until Warren wins her back, but see, Warren has killed Brody, so that's not going to work for a while. So, you know, Ethan can be a nice distraction until Sienna and Warren work out how she will feel when she eventually finds out that Warren killed her love.
You know.
Yeah, we'll see how that goes. If you all have any questions about Hollyoaks that we do not cover today, please hit us up on the Twitterations at UK Soap Podcast or shoot us an ask at britishsoappodcast.tumblr.com. Let's jump into this thing, Ms. Lenz. What the hells? What happened on Hollyoaks to make you say, what in the heezy?
I want to know how Summer just ended up randomly at their house or their safe house.
Just chilling in the woods.
It's like, how does this happen? It's just like, okay, we're going to the safe house. There have been sightings of Summer when there wasn't sightings of Summer and little
Leah.
Leah there is just like, I just said it because I wanted to make, you know, Liberty feel like crap. And I'm just like, she accidentally hit you.
Yes, get over it.
She explained to me, she understands. She's okay with it because he finally learned how much of a psycho Summer actually was. So he gave that, it's fine. So he's not okay with it, but okay with it at the same time. Mm-hmm. But Leah's just like, oh my God, I saw something. And it's just like, okay, whatever floats your boat. And then she just absolutely ends up randomly at this safe house that nobody's supposed to know about. Except for the police. I'm just like, How? It's like, let's just pick the most random place for Summer to be. The safest place they're supposed to be.
Just hanging in the back, frozen, like she's a tree. And nobody can see, even though she's in plain sight.
Yeah, but I'm like, if you want a piece of hidden scenery, she's not doing a good job.
So silly. You know, at the time, I didn't think about that, but you're right. It's so ridiculous. Like, I mean, they could have at least, like, had some dirty cop, like, filling her in, but they did not tie that together at all. She just is there.
Yeah, I was thinking at first that the, you know, the little cop that was with them all the time was just, like, you know, doing something to let her know, but mm-hmm. She has no fucking clue what's going on either.
Mess.
I'm just like, how? Why? Why? Not so much how, but why?
For the drama, boo. It was so much drama because she had a gun.
and they decided to do the scene at the beach. Because heaven forbid they safe house be a flipping beach house on the right on the water.
And were they on a cliff at the end? Wasn't there a cliff?
Yeah.
That they walk into us and like they do this beautiful cliff scene, but nobody goes over the edge. I'm like, well, why are y'all even there? What is the point?
I'm not entirely sure if there was. I think there was a cliff shot, but I don't think they were on the cliff.
Okay.
I think they were just on the beach. But it's just like
even that. I mean, drown somebody. Come on, why are you gonna go to the beach and not use the scenery? You know.
Well, they did. For Cornishness.
Oh, Lord. Oh, goodness. Are you happy with, well, we have not seen the last of summer yet. I know from checking the date then she's gone. But were you pleased with how her story resolved for now?
I'm like, for now, I think it's fine, but we all know there's going to be jail scenes where she's sitting across from somebody or other, more than likely Sienna.
Yep.
Having a talk about how, guess my money is that, you know, she'll pop back up when Sienna figures out Warren was the one that killed her, and she won't apologize. She'll just say, oh, we figured out Warren did it. Sorry, you're here for this. Mm-hmm. Not really. And then walk out.
So
that's what I'm looking for.
I already read what happens. She does not find out about Warren before all this goes down.
Oh, okay.
But she does ask Sienna to get revenge on whoever ruined her chance to kill Brody. Which is silly.
Well, that was good fun. Okay.
Yeah. So there's that. All right. That's your first what's the hell. What's your second, ma'am?
I hate to say this because it makes me sound like a terrible person. But the entire all-black episode was boring.
I mean, how is it going to make you feel like a terrible person when your black co-host sent you a message on Discord like, girl, this is one of the worst episodes I've ever seen in my entire life.
and it's not even that. I mean, like, it's for, you know, everyone else who, you know, listens and may have thought that it was, like, the most amazing thing since, you know, bread was loaved, but you know,
it really was not.
Yeah. There was just too much happening at a time. There was no reason for a lot of it to actually happen.
But there were a bunch of characters we don't care about. Like, I remember the good episode. EastEnders did a good episode back in the day. It was when I first started watching. And it was good. They built up to the episodes the entire week. And all the stories flowed together really well and really naturally. All they did on this particular episode was
take every
black character and have them in scenes that really weren't about blackness and really weren't rich. I mean, there was that thing about how the dance is called a shove because of some bullshit from the past. And I was like, okay. But, like, there was nothing in the story, like, to really care about. Okay, so Kim Fox's husband is coming back to get with Simone Loveday's sister. Okay, nobody cares. The two non-binary people are starting a love. Nobody cares. There's a new brother on the canvas who is hitting on the non-binary girl. Nobody cares. I think there was one part of that story that I did care about, and now I'm forgetting what it was. Oh, Goldie hating Olivia. That is all I cared about. That is all I cared about. That whole episode could have been Goldie hating on that prissy, hateful heifer, and I would have been good. But we have four storylines, only one are interesting. That's a 25% on tomato meter. I don't have time for that. That was trash. It was trash. It was not written well. It was just, let's show everybody that we've got all black people and we can have all black people do an episode. Like, I didn't feel the love. I didn't feel the warmth. I didn't feel the energy. It just felt like an afterthought, right?
It's like they just threw all the characters together just to throw them together. It's like, why would Ripley and Brooke be at a family get together?
If you're going to truly want to show love for the black characters on your canvas, give them all strong story. And if you want to build up to an episode that features all of the black characters, let that all black episode be the culmination of months of story, right? So build this out for months. What we saw was not something planned for goddamn months. No one will convince me of this.
It was planned within a day. We're going to do a barbecue.
Come on.
We're going to have a barbecue for your granddad. for your granddad's birthday. Fine, let's go out to the beach where DeMarcus almost drowns Felix. We realize our love for each other, that the world will be a big happy place. No.
Yeah.
It was the stupidest pile of hour-long trash I have ever seen in my life.
Yeah. It wasn't that bad, but it wasn't good. It wasn't as bad as EastEnders under Sean O'Connor or any soap under Ian McLeod, but it wasn't not good.
It was not the greatest thing that we've seen so far.
Correct. And it stood out because Hollyoaks that we've watched has been good. Like, the show has been excellent. So, it was kind of sad, because the episodes before were pretty good, but, yeah, that one was just like, what's happening? And then they had the nerve to make it an hour. I was like, see, y'all could have made this shit 20 minutes. You could have made it 20 minutes.
One episode or two, but put in two separate episodes, but have one dedicated completely to the barbecue and one dedicated to everybody else. Because it's like they just threw in random people for like literally no reason. It's like, oh, so Prince is going to be the DJ? No, we're going to bring a real DJ in. I'm like, really? We brought a real woman DJ to come in and do this? I don't get it. It's just like, dude, you don't need to show people that we've known for 2 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
Because they literally brought in like 4 new characters.
Mm-hmm.
And that story.
One thing I will say, because I saw parts of that episode, I did not even finish the episode. I'm going to keep it real. I made it like to 3/4 of the way through and I was just done. But I saw that they've got one of the sisters in the credits now, the older black lady who is, I guess, oh God, I can't even... I have to say Simone's sister because I don't even know her name. Is it Martine's friend's mama? I see her in the credits. So I'm like, okay, she's staying. Interesting. So it's like, okay, fine. But I still don't know why you're there. I agree, the episode was trash. We don't need to do that no more. Planet, make it good, Hollyoaks. Or make it all about Goldie hating somebody. Fine. Otherwise, no. Get it off my screen.
Yeah. I thought it was funny. It's just like that entire episode was... After watching a whole bunch of good stuff and, you know, less than good stuff, that was the lesson of the good stuff.
Agreed. And what's your other what the hell, mama?
I still, and you are going to lovishly hate me for this,
okay,
despise Becky.
I get it, because I got to the episode. Well, I got to the episode, but I don't know if you got to the episode, so I want to hear your words on this.
So, our friend Becky here decided that, you know, she went and got arrested because James was, you know, irritated because he saw a video of her throwing a smoke bomb into the cafe right before it blew up, which we learned was an accident. And then she gets out of the police station and she's making a fake Ollie feel like garbage. She decides she's gonna go get flowers for James because she feels bad that Marnie died and she wants to make everybody who's and she, you know, her reactions to James just don't do it for me at all. I mean, like, I liked her better as Sinead when she was calm and demure and almost happy all the time. Mm-hmm. And now you have her, how dare you do this? How dare you do this? I'm just like, dude.
Mm-hmm.
And now everybody thinks she's lying because she's because, you know, she's a conspiracy theorist and she lies about everything, or, you know, she lies about everything. I put little finger quotes and everything there. Mm-hmm. But you just sit there just watching her, and she's trying, you can tell she's trying to run through things in her head of things that she wants. I'm just like, I don't like her. I sat there and tried for months to like her, and then, you know, it's just like, there is no way in heck I am going to like this woman, because she is basically brainwashing a, you know, barely out of his teens boy to do whatever she wants him to. And it makes me mad because, you know, we've seen it before. Just not to the light extreme of, oh my God, 5G is going to give you brain cancer. You're going to die. Vaccinations are going to kill your baby, says the one who, you know, I'm betting you she has her vaccinations too, so she can't pull that crap. Yeah. But it's just like, you just watch her saying that all this stuff is bad for you based on stuff off the internet. And I'm just like, dude, just read doctor stuff. And read the actual studies. Don't go off what other people say. Conspiracy theorists bug me. That's all I gotta say.
Yeah.
But he took it to an extreme that bringing a, you know, 18, 19-year-old boy who's had enough stuff on his plate just dumb farther down. And I mean, like, his dad's dying. He was raped by an older, by somebody he trusted, just like his dad was. He ran away. He did all this stuff. And this woman's just sitting there saying, oh, don't do this because it's too bad for you when it's actually really good for you. I'm just like, no, I'm done with Becky. When she is off the canvas, I will be excited.
Yeah. I mean, I totally get it, Boom. And so I know I saw this part and you did not, because I watched a couple of episodes ahead of you. But I have a dilemma with Hollyoaks Becky, like I have a dilemma with Hollyoaks's Robbie Roscoe on EastEnders, right?
Yep.
I love the actor who plays Robbie Roscoe. I love the actress that plays Sinead / Becky. Sinead from Corey, right? And the shows have decided to take the characters I love and make them racist. And then I have to not hate them, even though they're being extremely racist. it's an interesting world that I'm living in. So, you know, I'm in real life, these actors are not racist. It's fine. But the characters, I'm just like, but that Sinead, like, she was so sweet with her Chesney and who did her wrong and then got with Daniel. And, you know, I know she's an evil twin who is like a COVID denier, vax denier, you know, nut job. But I mean, that's my Sinead. So what she's done on this show, like, you know, we got on EastEnders, Robbie Roscoe is now damn near a Nazi. So he's up there, you know, with bombs on the show. For those of you who aren't watching EastEnders, Robbie Roscoe has gotten in with a white supremacy group, and this white supremacy group put a bomb in an Indian restaurant that was supposed to go off, and Robbie was supposed to be the one to detonate the explosive, but then hijinks ensued. So I will put that to the side for EastEnders. On Hollyoaks, how that has manifested is Serena, who I believe is from the Chin Williams family, she was on the phone and carrying this box. And I think it was a package that came to her from somewhere in China. I can't remember where she said. But she's walking and talking on the phone and talking about being glad she has this box from China. And Becky overhears and is just like, oh my God, you got that box from China? Do you know what kind of diseases that box probably has? And I'm just like, what? And who is there? So it's Serena that's there. And when Cindy Cunningham is walking and hearing Becky say this as well. And Cindy's like, girl, what the hell are you talking about right now? What are you doing? And Becky's just like, you know that COVID came from China, and now she's walking around with a box from China? Like, this is, you don't know what's in there. And Cynthia's like, you are so racist. And now Serena, she's a young thing, so she isn't used to this type of vitriol. So she's getting sad and she's crying over this. And Becky's just like, whatever. I'm watching this and I'm like, Becky, you're trash. But I have to love Shanae. It's such a torturous thing. It's so torturous. And then the next episode that airs after, here comes Serena's mama all up in Becky's face like, girl, you better not open your mouth and say another racist thing to my goddamn daughter. I was like, you know, you tell her. But it's just interesting how, I don't know why these shows are using race to like get me to hate these actors and actresses who I have loved. But it is painful. And I'm having to stretch my love far to love these actors, not characters, who do these shady, shady, racist things. Yeah, that's my thing. I have this in my what the hell as Becky COVID racism. That is my what the hell. I want to love her. I got to hate her. I kind of love her still, even though she's crazy. Just like Erin on EastEnders. What the hell?
Yeah, I was just like, dude, and I loved her so much on Coronation Street, mm-hmm. and so much, and then it was just like, dude, the second I saw her on Hollywood with Diane, I was just like, I already hate this character.
I just feel like they're going to waste her, like they're going to make her leave the show too early. She could be a little sweetheart on this show. She could still have her little bad streak, but she could be like a sweetheart and be loved up with somebody on the show so she has some longevity. But the way they're having her go, she's just going to be like, she's going to have to get off the show, man, you know, because she's got explosions going on, got Ali, you know, breaking into hospitals, you know, and I'm going to miss her when she's gone, but they seem to be writing her all the way like extremist. And yeah, that's not going to be long for this show, I don't think.
No, they've already done that once, and it didn't last very long then either.
Yeah.
It's just like, what's the point of trying to bring on a conspiracy theorist just to make her go, yeah, no, we're going to make her racist. And now that, you know, she's racist, it's just, you know, it's just like, she's not longed for Hollywood.
Mm-hmm. Which is sad, because she's a great actress.
Or maybe she got asked to do something else. That's why Timmy was, you know, abruptly, you know, taken care of. But, you know, it's just like, dude, no, I'm out. I could care less about Becky. I want her off my screen. The faster she's gone, the better.
I want her to stay on my screen, but I want her to be reformed. So maybe she can strike up a friendship with Sid, and Sid can help to reform her ways. Let's do that. Let's have the white supremacist son get with the COVID denier lady, get her away from fake Ali, and let's have that love bloom, because you know, the Serena and her sister thing, that ain't cute. Let's help him redeem old girl. Let's do that. It ain't gonna happen, but I want to see.
No, absolutely not.
Lance is not here for it.
Okay. Seriously though, she has been one of, you know, I've hated characters and I've grown to like them. Sienna is my, you know, top person in that respect. I hated Sienna from like the moment she walked on the screen.
I've loved her from minute one.
as soon as, you know, she got with Warren and then she got with Brody and then, you know, she started, you know, having feelings. I grew to love her a lot, and that is not happening with this character. The longer she's been on, the more I hate her, and it's just like, the faster she's gone, the better the show will be. Mind you, there'll be like 20 years of, you know, fake Ali crying because another girlfriend left him, but, you know, I could care less.
You know what you just made me think? I think maybe Sid is going to be the wrong one for her. Since Sienna likes girls sometimes now, it's time for Becky and Sienna to hook up. That's what needs to happen. But see, we can take the woman who I proudly have loved since minute one, when every single one of the co-hosts that I have had up on this here show were hating on Sienna. I was loving and defending her the whole goddamn time, except for when she was siding with Patrick. Now, when she was supporting abuse, now she ain't have my back. I didn't have her back on that one. But I always love my Sienna. I love my Sinead from Coronation Street. Perhaps Sienna can help, you know, old girl to see the error of her ways. Because Sienna got sense. She ain't no COVID denier. You know, she gets her babies vaccinated. She trying to protect them. Shoot, she got them back from one. She going to give them all the shots. She going to make sure her babies is good. If Sienna could be with Summer, who was evil, she could be with Becky. She's less evil. She ain't killed nobody. Yeah.
I'm like, well, she ain't. No, her brain is dead.
Jeez.
I gave her brain cancer.
Hilarious. Okay, well, I'm going to dive into my what the hells. And since we're talking about Becky, let's just keep it on Becky. So, this is the what the hell I'm going to say in a minute, but I'm going to give a quick shout out to one of the stars of my first what the hells. That is James, who, understood that Becky had something to do with the explosion and his mom's, death, ultimately. And he had this scene where he was just like, it was Becky with the bad hair. See, Beyonce does not understand the power of her music. We got Beyonce calling out Becky with the good hair in her song, talking about Jay-Z fucking around with Becky with the good hair. And then we got James referencing Becky with the bad hair. I thought that was funny, so I wanted to give that a shout out. But the what the hell of the situation is, so my poor dearly departed Marnie has gone home to glory, and James is devastated because that was his girl, and I'm devastated for him because James and Marnie are one of the rare characters where it's like a sketchy mama, sketchy son, but the son supports mom almost all the time, no matter what. I love that relationship. I've always wanted to see that on soaps, and I have bitched on this show repeatedly about the guys who are just like, how could you, mother? How dare you, mother? I hate that. Like, if your mom is evil, just support your mom. just do it. Finn on Emmerdale, just do it. Nathan on Emmerdale, just support your mama. Don't do that whole, how could you, mother? No, just support your mama, right? So we had that for the most part with James and with Marnie. So now that Marnie's gone and he is devastated and thinking life is just about luck and everything is crap, he's standing at the memorial just, devastated over his mom. And Steve comes up trying to be supportive, and Steve's just like, James, I understand that you're sad, but like, you're not the only one that's sad. I loved her too. Well, my eyes rolled back in my head 72 times in about a second. I was like, dude, his mama died. That was his mama. You know your mama died a few years ago up on this show. That was his mom. You don't bring your face up in his face 5 seconds after his mama died being like, won't you chill with your grief, bro? Because, I loved her too, and I'm okay. I was like, what the fuck? But see, I didn't have that long to be mad at Steve's bullshit, because then I was laughing because of James. Because James turned around and he was like, you were her cleaner. I was her son. I said, you read that motherfucker, James. Like, dude, you cleaned her fucking business and maybe her house. I don't know. I didn't watch enough to see what you were cleaning. Like, honestly, can you have sympathy for the man who just lost his mother? His mother! Nobody gives a fuck about your feelings right now, Steve. It's about James. Let it's James like, do James.
Like, dude, you helped kill your mother. His mother died.
Let's keep it real.
His mother died by technically by accident.
Yes. But... yes. and by her own hand, we're not revising history, y'all know on this show, Stee did not do that. Stee took the blame for that, but we watched the episode. She did it by herself.
She handled it. Yeah.
Even though he claimed it and went to jail for it and all that foolishness.
Yep.
Yeah, but it's just silly. It's just like, dude, yeah, you're the cleaner. Shut the fuck up. Just let James feel what James is going to goddamn feel. Period. Stop. 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 And stop. That's what I was thinking. Yes. Did you notice that when he did that? I was just like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
You know. And he did one more thing, too, that annoyed me. So James was pissed at Becky because he figured that Becky had something to do with the bombing. So he called social services on Becky to get her kid snatched, right? And I'm not mad at that. Well, nope. Stee finds out that's what James did. And Stee's like, it's not good to take a mother away from her, a child away from her mother. I was like, Stee. Stee, hey. Can we have a conversation about you and your baby mama? How often did you take them kids away from your baby mama? How many times did y'all have custody issues going on? You know what I'm saying? It ain't never good to take a child away from a parent, Stee. What if they are abusing one other parent, Stee? Like, I don't know why Hollyoaks was writing Stee to not have James's side, but I was just like, dude, stop. Like, your relationship is good. Why are you messing it up for this foolishness? Don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that. No.
Yeah, I completely get it, because I'm just like sitting there thinking, what are you doing? Because it's like, Stee has never been the pillar of greatness.
Correct.
In any sense of the word.
Right.
But now that he's with James, he's, you know, he's okay to watch now.
Yeah.
For the most part.
Agreed.
And now he's just trying to be this pillar of, you know, truth and justice. And I'm just like, dude, you are less than the pillar of truth and justice. You've done such crap over the past, you know, decade and a half that it's not even worth the list. So quit being a pillar of truth and justice. And just tell it the way it is. You're being a dink.
100%.
And you need to stop.
And let's talk about something else that needs to stop. Do you remember one of the refrains that I used to get so annoyed hearing on this show? It came from Maxine, and I think most of the time it was pointed at my Freddie Roscoe, and that refrain was, you're just like Patrick, you're just like Patrick, you're just like Patrick, to men that did not abuse her at all. Well, we got a You're Just Like Patrick this week. Who do we get that said by? Mizba is now Maxine. And who is she calling Just Like Patrick / Allie? Shaq.
Little son.
I was like, are you kidding? Are you kidding me right now? So Shaq is just like Patrick. And just like Patricking, for you all that don't know, it's when you... So someone has been abused, right? And then a soap opera gives the character who was abused the line that some other character who is nowhere near as evil as the character that abused them is just like the abuser, right? So you've got Allie, who has sexually assaulted Mizba, right? Shaq, their son, who is hiding a phone so the evil bastard that raped her does not, or that assaulted her, it does not have contact with her. And Mizba looks in her rape baby's face and it's like, you are just like your dad because you hid my phone. No, what are you, no!
He didn't hide her phone. He flat out threw it away. He threw it in the garbage.
And that makes him a rapist.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? I'm like, what are y'all doing? Stop this just like Patrick foolishness. No, unless somebody else has sexually assaulted this person, they are just not like, they are not the same. They're not the same. They are not the same.
Yeah, and then you're just like sitting there, and now that Mizba told him that, he's walking around all droopy face.
Exactly.
Woman that he's ever been with, how bad of a person. I was just like, dude.
I couldn't.
Don't do that. You've been really sweet to almost everybody besides Teresa.
Yeah.
But I've seen you with, and let's be fair, it was just Verity. But at the same time, it's just like, he's been sweet, he's been kind, they've been, you know, having cute conversations. Mm-hmm. And I mean, like, I don't know what in the past couple months that we still have to watch happened between them where they haven't really talked very much, but it's just like, they're trying, and then Mispa says that and knocks his confidence down to negative 9,000.
Yes.
And he's like a puddle of goo that just feels bad about himself because his mom told him that he's just like his dad. I'm just like, that is a terrible thing to say.
I mean,
and then as soon as, you know, she says, oh, what did he tell you? I'm just like, what do you think he told him?
And I took down the line that Mispa said on the episode. She says to him, do you have any idea how small and insignificant you made me feel? And I'm like, first of all, Shaq can't make you feel jack. You chose to feel the way you felt because he tried to protect you. So there's no your child made you feel. You were choosing to feel. You could have also chosen to be grateful that he protected you from being contacted from your sexual assaulter. And you could also have chosen not to vilify your son for no damn reason, right? So I was just like, no, we're not doing this. We're not doing this. Shaq, not guilty. Next.
and then my other thing is Shaq never included other little son there because other
right.
little was basically the one who told him to go in the first place.
Right.
Because he didn't want her to feel hurt. Or
now, if we're talking about abuse, now, she could have, just like Patrick, Imran, and that would have been more appropriate. Now, Imran physically abused her. He did not sexually abuse her, right? So
yes.
That would have been more appropriate. Shaq is a little puppy. No, we ain't doing this.
Shaq, no. I'm sorry. I understand that Shaq is new, and I didn't particularly like him from the start, but now that he's been on and, you know, more of a story and everything, I just want to give him a hug and tell him, you want the cutest little puppy in the world, and don't take this crap from anybody.
Yes.
Or a cute little baby that, you know, it hurts.
Yes.
Just watching him go through all this stuff, and I just want to see it, you know, rise up from the ashes and be his confident self again.
100%, baby girl. I feel that exact way. I think I'm going to save the rest because the rest have to do with kind of what got found out, you know, how Sienna found out and what Warren did. Because you have seen Warren blurt out the truth in his drugged out state, right?
It is. I'm broken.
Yes.
Oh, my God. I'm having bad dreams state. Yes.
Okay. But you haven't seen what happens after it. So I will just say stupid Warren is my last what the hell, but I will save that till our next show so that my girl can watch it and then we can talk about it because he is really, really stupid and it's really, really annoying and I really, really want to talk to my girl about it. So I will save that.
I think that because Warren's been my character for many years.
I mean, Warren is still an ace, but they did not need to make him this stupid. It was Scooby-Doo villain ridiculousness and I can't with it.
Oh, no.
I can't with it. But we are going to switch to scenes of the week. So hit us up with your first scene of the week for Hollyoaks.
You know, we were just talking about it. While it was sad and depressing, I kind of really liked how Verity and Shaq's relationship has been going. Rather, it's ups and downs and backs and forths. And you know, he got the blessing to go after her. He finally does. Then it's just like, yep, nope. Dad told me I was bad, so let's break up. And then they just keep trying to, build it up and then take it back down a bit. They're trying to do it slow, and I think it's cute. And I hope they get together and, you know, if it doesn't, you know, work out for them in Hollyoaks, I hope they move somewhere else. And you know, make cute little Shaq Verity baby.
Yeah, both together are cute.
Verity's And Verity is working on her own now because, you know, James is on compassionate leave and Sammy left. Mm-hmm. So the entire law firm is on her shoulders right now, and she has no help except for from Maxine, who basically knows how to make coffee and pass over documents. and she has so much on her plate, and she basically told him the same thing she's been telling herself for the longest time. And it made me happy that she used it. She said, "My dad did the exact same thing to me. Mm-hmm. He used me as the victim, made me feel small, and once he died, I built myself back up again." Mm-hmm. So you can do it too.
Yes.
He's in jail. He can't do anything for you or to you from there, you know. So it's nice to know that somebody with similar relationships to their dads can try to get together in a slower, more kind of like compassionate relationship.
Yes, 100%. I love the pairing, and I love the actress who plays Verity. You know, I have not been a fan of Tony for a while, but listen, the sister they cast for him, perfect. She is great. She is a scene stealer, and she's good with everybody they pair her with. She was great with Sam, and she's great with Shaq. She's radiant. Excellent. So, you know, she can be the Hutchinson on the square after they kill off Tony. I will be happy with that. So let's make it happen. And then she and Shaq can move into Tony's old flat. And then they can have all the babies and have all the fun and hijinks and antics forever and ever. It'll be great.
Yeah, I would not be against that because they've been trying for, you know, 4 or 5 months now. And, you know, Sammy was still there at the time. Sammy found out about it. Sammy gave him his blessing to say, "Hey, dude, I know you love Verity. I'm moving to, you know, take a better job out, you know, the city, and you have my blessing." And he took it. And I hope that, you know, things get better from there because they kind of started off rocky until both of them were just like, "Listen here." I like those listen here moments because you don't really get a lot of them on Hollyoaks that are poignant.
Yes.
Like that one was. And it's like, yeah, you get the, "Ooh, we're going to yell at you" kind of things. Like, you know, what happened with Mispah. But you also have the poignant, "Hey, this happened to me too. Don't give in to it like I did."
Yes. That was excellent.
Or,
I love
it. Or, you know, like Maxine did, or like Sienna did, or, you know, a lot of people have been through the exact same thing. Mm-hmm. And it's just now being used as a proper poignant point for the first time in like 5 years. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just like, dude, I'm glad she pointed it out. I'm glad they're going to try to work on their relationship, and I hope it goes well for them.
100%. Totally agree, baby girl. What else you got for your scenes of the week?
I hate Ethan, but I love the reveal of Maya in the back of the car to Steve and Sienna.
That was funny as hell. That was so funny.
I was just like, dude, what are you going to... Oh, yeah, we're going to... yeah, I dare you to go call the police after they find this in the back of your van. Bing!
You know, we've missed Hollyoaks pairing Sienna and Stee together as partners. Like, where we were watching when Hollyoaks, Sienna was just like, she was just trying to be a teacher at the school. But obviously, since that time, it hasn't worked out, and now she is working with Stee as a cleaner, which I don't like that. I don't like, you know, like I don't like Kat Slater being a cleaner. Well, thanks, she's not anymore. But I didn't like that for Hollyoaks. Like, I don't like that role for Sienna. But as far as comedy hijinks ensuing, this is working. And this Sienna and Stee pairing, I have down as one of my scenes of the week because those two play off of each other so damn well. And so I did some searching to see like when this came about, because I'm like, both of these people have been on the show for a while. I don't remember them really interacting with each other. And apparently a couple months ago, Kieran was messaging about how he was going to be doing some scenes with someone he hadn't worked with ever on the show, and they were good, and he was referencing our girl who plays Sienna. I mean, they are great together. That is an excellent partnership that I did not see coming. Steve's been on the show a long time. Sienna's been on the show a long time. They have both been tortured characters at times. They have both been characters to hate, and those two together as a pairing, that whoever had that decision, genius. They are comedy gold off each other. They're both shady, which is why you can totally understand Sienna and Steve without much conversation bearing about it and having no big bones about it, right? Because they both have done some shady stuff. So of course they would bury a body. And of course they're going to be at Ethan's beck and call because of the comedy hijinks that can ensue and the seriousness of, you know, the things that they can, you know, get down with and get away with, you know? So I think that pairing is flawless and excellent. So I love Sienna and Steve, and I did not expect it, but I love it. It's great.
It is. I enjoy their scenes together. It's just like there was this one that they're just sitting in the Steve's flat there. Does James live with them now?
I'm not sure. Still learning.
Because I'm like, that Romeo's come into the place a few times too, so I'm wondering if he's just not staying at the house because of Marnie memories or something. But he's sitting there with the cute little candle that Leah made for him, or for Marnie, and he has it all lit up and everything, and he's just sitting there praying with his mom, quote unquote. And then there's Dee and Sienna sitting over by the island just bickering back and forth, and then he's like, what the hell are you two whispering about over there? And they're just like, nothing at all.
That's so cute.
We just need to go get my damn band.
It's just so inspiring. Yeah, those two together are great. So they need to be in more scenes together. I want to see their families interact. I think that could be a good friendship. Because, you know, Steve doesn't have any friends he doesn't sleep with, for the most part. Sienna doesn't have any good girlfriends, right? So, I mean, Sienna and Steve, perfect pairing. I need more of that in my life. And I'm going to throw another quick Sienna scene of the weekend to steal from my girl real quick. I love Sienna being unimpressed by Ethan, right? Ethan has gone from like acting like this weakling when Maya Mayo was around, and now that she's dead, he's like half crazy and half acting like he's the baddest bitch on the square, and Sienna just doesn't care. So I don't remember what line he said to her, but he said something to her when she walked in and saw him, and Sienna just goes to him, did that sound good when you practiced it in the mirror? I was like, see, Sienna's my queen. She is the best. I don't care how many regimes try to tone her down. She will always be a boss, and she will always be able to get over on these hoes. So I'm tired of people underestimating my Sienna, but I appreciate how Miss Passy, she keeps Sienna with that fire all the time. I love it. It's brilliant, and I need more of it in my life. Yes. I also need your last scene of the week, ma'am. So what is that?
So I don't know. I mean, like, I love James. James was one of those characters that I've hated at the start and then loved later. I have a lot of those. But I love his kind of, like, luck chance thing that he has going now.
Yes.
I'm going to take away somebody you love, or you get to leave here with no issues, heads or tails. I will pay off your debt for you on heads, or you'll have to pay me double for tails. I was just like, dude, I wonder what kind of cool stuff he can come up with if they continue doing this, because that was a really nice thing he did for Damon, you know.
You know, when I was watching him, I knew that story beat from somewhere. I couldn't remember where it was until just now. He's Two-Face from Batman.
I was like, he's Batman.
Love it. From Batman. Love it. It's Boss. I love that. I'm like, yeah, James is up here being Two-Face. It's great.
Yeah, but I was just like sitting there thinking, you know, because that was the first thing that came to my head too, was like, dude, all you have to do is pay him Aaron Eckhart style if you got yourself Two-Face. I wouldn't even go Tommy Lee Jones style because that one was just not cute. But
and I'm not even thinking about that. I'm thinking about Batman the Animated Series. That's the first place that I encountered Two-Face. Yeah, I was too. Like, Boss.
And I was like, I don't even think he's trying to be a villain. I just think he's, you know, going based on, hey, life lasts for this amount of time. Right. Might as well see what happens with 50-50 chances with stuff. And he just keeps flipping the coin because it's just like, hey, I feel like I can help somebody or ruin somebody's life at the same time. You know, let's see what happens. And I have to say, I know he's grieving. He's grieving really hardcore because Marnie was like his rock and everything. Yes. So it's just like knowing that the one thing that was keeping him like technically sane, kind of, sort of, even though she didn't really.
And she protected him from his abusive dad in some respects, you know?
Yeah, it's like, dude, he's like, oh, my mom took me to France to protect me from my dad once. Yeah. It was the best time of my life, and I felt safe for the first time in ages when I'm 15 years old. I'm just like, oh, that hurts my soul, dude. But yeah, it's just like, he's been really good after the explosion. I mean, he's pretty good all the time, but since the explosion happened, I see a potential award in his future.
100%. He can get another one. Yes, I need it in my life. Yes, God.
Yep.
So, I have already mentioned most of my scenes of the week. I love Goldie hating Olivia. I do not like Olivia. I cannot stand Olivia. In our flashbacking, we saw the episodes where Olivia premieres, and she was acting all just snapping at Goldie at, like she's some hoity-toity heifer at the dog, and Goldie was getting ready to rip her eyes out before her son pops up, and it's like, this is my girl, and we are engaged, and Goldie's eyes were just daggers. I need that to continue. I do not like Olivia. I cannot stand Olivia, and Goldie hating Olivia makes me love Goldie, because Goldie is trying to be there for her boys, you know. I haven't been the biggest on Goldie on the show, but I have always loved the love that she showed for both of her boys. So her being Mama Bear with Prince, and, you know, her, you know, letting him know, like, okay, you're up here acting like you're some preppy boy, you are a McQueen. You don't need to hide who you are for this little prissy girl. You need to be yourself. And it's a front anyway. You ain't going to be able to keep this shit up. You going to act like your real self. And if she don't want you, she don't deserve you. And then what happens? Prince stop acting like a prissy boy and starts acting like himself. Because his mama clocked him, you know, and clocked that girl in her mess. So I love that, you know, about her.
Yeah, it's from the second she popped on screen, I'm with you. I didn't like her. I'm just like, dude, she sounds like one of those caviar eating vegan people who flat out tells everybody she's vegan.
And nobody cares.
Everybody rolls their eyes because they don't care. And she's on the high and mighty lifestyle. And she has the rich parents. And she has I'm going to make him change his name. That was the thing that really made Goldie go, yeah, no, that ain't happening.
He going to be a McQueen, goddamn. this ain't Beyonce and Jay-Z.
There ain't going to be no hyphenated last name. You're either going to be a McQueen or you're going to get
out. Mama McQueen said, we not having nose caught up in this. We ain't having no nose McQueen. No, McQueen.
I was just like, I mean, like, I love having Prince back, and she made a proper point. The fact that he tried to change for Lily, and look how that turned out.
Right.
And that's what made him go back to hiding cheeseburgers and eating them split seconds before annoying Olivia, even though Goldie keeps calling her Liv and it's fabulous.
Whatever Goldie can do to annoy that girl works for me.
I agree. I can keep going. Yes. I mean, like, I know she's trying. I mean, like, the later episodes, she's trying to, you know, conform with the McQueens a little bit, and Goldie is trying to, you know, try to like her. But you can tell in the back of her head that there's just something that makes her want to blow up in her face, and it is fabulous. And I too, who have not liked Goldie McQueen very much since her, you know, entrance, exit, re-entrance. it's just like, yeah, no.
Mm-mm. And I'm going to be real. It's not the actress. I like the actress. I think she's really, really funny. I know the reason I was sour on Goldie initially is because I think she came in at the time when they were like, they kind of got most of the original McQueens were out of Myra's house. And then Goldie and her daughters and stuff came in as like the replacement McQueens. And that just never felt right to me. So that's why I soured on Goldie. And I never really paid attention to her stories initially.
Goldie doesn't have daughters.
But you remember, Goldie came in, and who were those girls that were there? Because they were like the cousin McQueens. I can't even remember everybody now.
Portia, Cleo, and...
there you go.
The other one, the one that Cameron killed.
Yes. See, so...
one.
Because she came in with all that crew, I was just kind of like, no, I'm not feeling this. I'm a Tina McQueen, Mercy McQueen, Mercedes McQueen, Jackie McQueen, John Paul McQueen. Those are my people. Myra McQueen, those are my people. I don't need, initially, I was like, I don't need grandma and the replacements. I want my OGs. And now I feel like we've got a good mix. We got most of my OGs are there. I love grandma. I always love Mama McQueen anyway. You know what I'm saying? And even though Goldie is still there, it works. So I'm not bothered by her, especially now that Silver's gone. Silver was too much. Goldie is enough. We can keep Goldie. I can keep one replacement. That's it. No more. Goldie is it. Goldie and our boys.
Yeah, it's just like I love that they're running out the hutch of the house, too.
It's great. Because we don't see Myra's house anymore, which makes Myra's been gone for a minute. And I like them there at the hutch. Like, it's beautiful. It works. They got a new set, and it just works. And they're right in the heart of the village. I love it.
Yep, and it was like when Fergus and Ward were trying to buy it, Tony was like, yeah, no, I already have the McQueens renting it out.
I love it.
No, you're out. Bye-bye.
Fantastic. Totally agree. Yes. So I was saying that to zoom past it and say, I wasn't going to say all that much on Goldie, but whatever. So my final scene of the week, it's Cindy. It's Cindy Cunningham. So Becky was talking some crazy stuff about, I think she was telling Cindy like how they should stop all of Luke's treatments and like just have him do some natural treatment and he's going to be healed. And I think she said she read something about how doctors misdiagnose patients so that they can make money. And so, you know, she should just make sure Luke stops all treatment, go the natural route, and Luke will be fine. And Cindy was just like, you know what else I should do? I should put you in rice. You know, just like a cell phone. You know, if there's a problem with a cell phone, you get it in water, you put it in rice, and all the bad stuff comes out. Well, maybe if I dunk your ass in some rice, all them crazy thoughts in your head will come out. I was done. You tell us, Cindy.
I love Cindy. She's one of those characters that just keeps popping up and making me smile, especially now that Mandy's not on for her to go across anymore. Right. So it's just like, it's nice to see her still in her, you know, element now that Mandy's gone again. Because it seems like every time Mandy's in her orbit at all, she calms down a bit. And then once Mandy leaves, she goes back to her snarky, oh my god, get lost type self. And it's really nice to see her snarkiness back. Yes. It's great.
Yes, snarky Cindy can stay on Hollyoaks forever. It is always fabulous.
Yeah.
Always. And with that, I will say that I am at Brother Soap.
And I am at Lindsay Amanda.
Thank you all so much for listening. Until next time, I will say, get vaxxed, wear a mask, don't let COVID kick your ass. Even though these mofos are out here trying to lift restrictions, y'all be smart. Keep the mask on, because you know what's going to happen? In 2 months, you got to put the mask back on, because we're going to have a new variant, because these idiots out here having us run around with no damn mask on and spreading COVID all everywhere. It's crank. Protect yourselves. Bye.